You're listening to the Archaeology Podcast Network.
Send in your nominations now for the APN Awards. The APN Awards celebrate the best in archaeology, heritage, history, anthropology, museum, and cultural podcasts from around the world. Open to independent, academic, institutional, and network-produced shows, the awards recognize outstanding storytelling, research communication, production, hosting, and more. Award categories include Podcast of the Year, Best Educational Podcast, Best New Podcast, Best Interview, Best Storytelling Episode, Best Host, and several fun APN-only awards for those shows hosted on the Archaeology Podcast Network. Send in your nominations before the 1st of August 2026. Public voting will then be open from the 1st of September to the 1st of October 2026, and then will culminate in a live awards show on the International Day of Archaeology, so October 17th, 2026. Find out all information and send in your nominations through the Archaeology Podcast Network website.
You are now entering the Pseudo Archaeology Podcast, a show that uncovers what's fact, what's fake, and what's fun in the crazy world of pseudo archaeology.
Well, hello and welcome to the Pseudo Archaeology Podcast, episode 189. I am your host, Dr. Andrew Kinkella, and tonight I, myself, alone, review the movie The Lost City from 2022. So, hey, y'all, what's going down? I'm just sitting here in a room alone, something I do a lot. And today I was like, you know what? I'm going to talk about the movie The Lost City. And you know what's so funny is as I thought about this, a couple things are funny, not just one. First, I remember when the movie came out. So it came out in 2022, right? And I was like, I got to see that. And I had a suspicion that I might like it. You know, I thought it looked kind of like not bad. And I'm an open-minded dude. It doesn't have to be a strictly cold archaeological movie for me to enjoy it. It can have that thing. What's it called again? Oh, yeah. Fun. It can have fun. Oh, and what's that other thing? Oh, yeah. Lighthearted. It can do that, too, and still be perfectly fine. You know, and it can teach me a whole lot of not much. And that's OK, too. Yeah. Sometimes life is hard. Sometimes you just want a little bit of fun. So that's the first funny thing, and I don't even know how funny that is. Maybe it's just more of a statement. But secondarily, I was like, oh, I bet my friends over at the screens of the Stone Age haven't done it yet, because I bet this flew under their radar because it's a big movie, but they're too busy looking at more specific old gnarly movies. But I just looked through their episode list, and guess what? Episode 64, The Lost City from November 12, 2023. Damn it. Screens of the Stone Age. Your professionalism and timeliness. Whatever, dude. You know what? People don't tune into me for my professionalism and timeliness. Yeah, they tune into me so they can feel better about themselves because they're like, at least I'm not as sad as that loser. Anyway, I watched it, and there's going to be spoilers all over the place, because I'm just going to talk about it as if you've already seen it. So if you have not seen it, you can keep listening and just have some spoilers, and it's really no big deal, because I will tell you this. This movie is, like, so cliche that you would be a horrendous fool not to be able to figure out what was going to happen next. But you know what? That's not a bad thing. Yeah. So, Lost City. I mean, the movie's called The Lost City, you guys. You'll never guess what it's about. Congratulations, yes. And this is going to be like a cliche, lighthearted, very lighthearted adventure story, right? I'm into that. Like, I want to watch that, you know? You know the tone of this as we get into this? I feel like The Lost City is a combo of Joe versus the Volcano. Anybody watch that? I like Joe versus the Volcano. You know, I might do a review of Joe versus the Volcano on here at some point. Maybe, no. I fear Screens of the Stone Age. Oh, I don't want them to. I want to do that with Screens of the Stone Age. We'll see. I'll have to look. It's a combo of Joe versus the Volcano and Tropic Thunder. I swear to God. Right. Like the tone of those two, like Joe versus the Volcano is kind of surreal. You know, it's kind of, but it's a bit serious, but it's surreal, very surreal in its own way. Joe versus the Volcano, a total sleeper. Tom Hanks, Meg Ryan, or yeah, I think. Yeah. But killer. And then Tropic Thunder. If you haven't watched Tropic Thunder, one of the greatest movies ever made. Funny, irreverent, right? So that together, that gives you the tone of The Lost City. And you guys know me. I'm a huge stickler for tone, right? You always hear me blabbing like, oh, do they keep the tone? I have to say right off the bat, Lost City keeps its tone. That halfway between Joe versus the Volcano and Tropic Thunder. And it stays there. Good for them. This is old school movie making, my friends. I'm not here to say Lost City's perfect, right? It's not. But who cares? Do you get what you come for? Hell yeah. So let's just start going through this. So we have our two main characters who are Sandra Bullock and Channing Tatum. The casting is great. And I love Sandra Bullock for this kind of stuff, especially. For me, Sandra Bullock's always funny. And what I keep coming back to with her, which I don't think is enjoyed enough or talked about enough, Sandra Bullock is a fantastic physical comedian. She's really good with how she moves her body. There's so much little playful jokingness all the time with her. If you think of her famous cuts, there's that one movie she was in where she was an FBI officer or whatever, and she has to dress up. It's the one with William Shatner in it. One of those famous clips is where she's in that like tight pick dress or whatever, and she slips and falls. And the way she slips and falls on her heels, you know, really a fantastic physical comedian. Anyway, that stuff, this just plays to Sandra Bullock's strengths, I think. Great casting. So how's the movie start? The movie starts with like Sandra Bullock and sort of this Fabio character played by Channing Tatum, right? And if you guys don't know Fabio, I'm like, am I too old? Do they not know Fabio? Fabio's like that blonde, long-haired, muscular dude who was on the cover of like all romance novels in the 80s and like into the 90s. Famous for, I think, like a seagull hit him when he was on a roller coaster. Like it like broke his nose and stuff, I think. But more famous for the romance novel covers. Anyway, they have this sort of very heightened, over-the-top kind of funny scene where they're in, it's the same as Raiders of the Lost Ark when they're in the inside sort of the temple with all the snakes. It's that scene, but with them. And all of a sudden, it's very self-referential. And Sandra Bullock's kind of talking about like, oh, these snakes aren't really working. Oh, that villain's not really that great. And Channing Tatum's right there too. And then stuff starts disappearing. You're like, what's going on? And you realize this is all in her head, right? Because the deal is that Sandra Bullock is a writer and she's trying to write her latest romance novel. And she has pressure to write. And she's like super rich and super famous writer, right? And she's writing her most recent book. And it shows that she's just going to wuss out. She can't really come up with a good ending. So, and her editor is on her ass and she's just going to like wuss out and write whatever she just end it. Right. And so she punts it. We also learn very quickly that her husband is dead. This is sort of like a, you know, how sort of heightened comedies like this will have a serious moment or two, which is fine. And her husband is actually a real archaeologist who is dead and who used to translate hieroglyphics and this kind of stuff. Her book, the title of which, fantastic title, The Lost City of D, nicely played, sounds stupid. And it is stupid. But you know you're smiling at that because it's stupid, but it's funny, you know. And then she then goes to like a Comic-Con kind of thing, you know, where she's going to have to talk and it's her and Channing Tatum's there. And we learn that Channing Tatum is a real guy and he is like a Fabio character. He's just a dude who has his photo taken on the front cover of her books. And they have kind of a history. They've known each other for a while. We learn that Channing Tatum is kind of in love with her, kind of has a crush on her, and she doesn't like him, right? It ends, the scene at the Comic-Con sort of festival ends with Sandra Bullock accidentally pulling off his wig Channing Tatum's long blonde wig to show that Channing Tatum actually has short hair. And the audience is bummed out. A ton of funny little jokes here, you guys. I mean, Sandra Bullock in seriousness says she's a sapiosexual, which means she's attracted to, like, smart people, right? And she's also sitting there in this overtight pink sequin dress, you know, just over the top. And a great piece of physical comedy, watch for it, when she's up there trying to sit in her seat, trying to get on her seat with this tight dress, and she's squirming on this little tiny pad of the seat. Really well done. Good for her, Sandra Bullock. Now, in terms of the construction of the movie, all of this stuff goes fast. And then we're already off. Like, as soon as she leaves, like, Comic-Con, she needs to get a ride or something, she gets out and she's immediately kidnapped, right? She's immediately kidnapped and taken away. And it turns out that she's being kidnapped by Daniel Radcliffe, right? Like Harry Potter himself. And Daniel Radcliffe plays this over-top, the adventure bad guy, you know, just like Belloc in Raiders of the Lost Ark. Always wearing light-colored tan or white suits with a hat. You know what I mean? He should might as well have a pocket watch. Has a vest on at all times with his coat. You know what I'm saying. You know this look. And the producers and the people who made The Lost City, they know you know this look, right? So they lean into all this. A bunch of small jokes where Daniel Radcliffe says that he's heard that Sandra Bullock likes cheese. So he brings her into this room that's just full of cheese. And she's kind of complaining and worried the whole time, but she's eating the cheese. Again, this is small, like, business of an actor, and she's crushing it. She does so great. It's just, it's funny. If you watch this movie closely, there are not as many jokes behind the scenes as, like, an Airplane, but damn, dude, it's close. There are a lot of jokes in this. Like, there's constantly little things. As we go through this in the cheese room, Daniel Radcliffe shows that he has this little bit of parchment with symbols on it. And he says that she needs to translate these with him. She says no, of course. And those of you who know me, I'm always like looking at act one, act two, act three of the movie. This is the classic refusal of the call where the hero, who is Sandra Bullock, says, no, I'm not going to do this. Sorry, but I don't want to like translate this stuff. And then Daniel Radcliffe just drugs her with that stuff you put chloroform. Right? Old school. Puts it on the rag and like puts it on her face. And then she wakes up and she's in a plane. And he's just like, hey, you know, I couldn't wait for you to say no. It's a great way to intro act two. You know, you're like, okay, we're all set up. We know what we're going to do. And of course, Channing Tatum is following behind in taxis and this kind of stuff the whole time, hoping to ultimately catch up with them, which they will when we get to the island with the volcano in act two. Well, hello and welcome back to the Pseudo Archaeology Podcast, episode 189. I'm your host, Andrew Kinkella, who has a doctorate degree. So sometimes he calls himself Dr. Andrew Kinkella, but then when people call him doctor, he forgets and he like doesn't turn around when somebody says, hey, doctor, because he forgets that they mean him. Anyway, we're talking about The Lost City. And like the film nerd that I am, I just went through really my initial feelings about the movie and how the setup went in act one and the overall tone, right? Being somewhere between Joe versus the volcano and Tropic Thunder, which is like good for them. So, all right, now we know what's up. We got to get our characters to this long lost island. And on the island, there's like this ancient city, the Lost City. You don't say, right? Very simple, very straightforward. Being simple and straightforward is a good thing. I wish more movies would do this. Oh, another thing, actually, before I forget, that I really liked about The Lost City, filmed in the sun, in daylight. Aren't you sick of like movies that just don't, they're so dark, you can't even like see what's happening or know what's going on, and it's like you can't even tell whose mouth is moving, who's talking. I can't stand that. Lost City doesn't have any of that, right? It's just, it's in the sunshine. You can see what's up. No darkness. It's great. So they're on this island again, cliche, like Polynesian island. And there's a bunch of the locals digging, right? Because Daniel Radcliffe has them all digging because, you know, he's the bad guy. It's great. And then there's all these little jokes. Of course, Sandra Bullock is tied up. And all of this, you guys, it's either straight from Raiders of the Lost Ark or it's from Temple of Doom, right? It's so close, as it should be. So we get all the jokes. There's this joke about a hamster's asshole, which I think is really funny, actually, and really works. It sounds stupid, but it's not. Now, as Channing Tatum follows them, Channing Tatum gets the island after them, but Channing Tatum runs into this guy who's going to help him out. And his name is Jack Traynor, right? This is Brad Pitt. Brad Pitt just does the kick-ass cameo in this movie, you guys. Really funny. And just the music in this movie, the choice of music in this movie is freaking great. I'm just like, when Channing Tatum first comes out, they use Final Countdown, you know, it's the Final Countdown, you know, right? And then for Brad Pitt, when we first see him, he's got long hair and they do that theme from, I can't remember the name of the song, but it was from, I think it was the first season of True Detective. You know, that really low sort of cowboy, you know, they have that. Great. And then Channing Tatum has the hugest bromance, bro crush on Brad Pitt. Well played. They play it serious. You know, this whole movie, they do what you're supposed to do. They do what Airplane and the original Naked Gun do so well. They play it straight. They are in crazy situations, but they play the characters straight. And that therein lies the comedy, right? Where other movies I've talked about in the past, like, really suck at their tone, like Don Verdeen, I think I might talk about on here, terrible. This, it sticks to it, plays it serious, and it's funny as hell. So they have Brad Pitt come in, and Brad Pitt's going to like get, he's gonna get, of course, Sandra Bullock out. There's all these side gags where Channing Tatum thinks he's going to get in a really big truck and he throws his backpack into this truck. But then you get this reveal and it's this little tiny car, Brad Pitt's little tiny car. It's freaking great. Then we have this whole amazingly choreographed scene where Brad Pitt comes in and just like lays waste to all the henchmen and gets all the way to like Sandra Bullock. There's so much, you guys, just to watch that sequence is, cliches aside, it is laugh out loud funny. And I will say, some of these jokes that I've already talked about, I did laugh out loud. I was like laughing, you know, the little car, even the little car thing, because it caught me off guard. You have to be in the right mood for this movie, though. Like, you got to be in that mood. You got to be in the mood of like, I'm going to see something lighthearted. I'm going to like chill. I just want to see something like that's funny and relaxed and shallow in the best possible sense and just no effort. And I just want to like have some fun while I eat my nachos on this Tuesday night. Perfect movie for that. I can tell at the same time, if you're in the wrong mood, this movie's not going to work for you. You have got to be in the most lighthearted of lighthearted modes. And I was. So it really worked for me. So Brad Pitt does this great thing. And of course, Channing Tatum is just in awe. He's trying to do what Brad Pitt does. He fails constantly, of course. Brad Pitt, like, he kills all the henchmen he grabs Sandra Bullock. You can tell Sandra Bullock has a huge crush on Brad Pitt, too. And they're, like, vibing. And Channing Tatum's, like, on the outside. He's like, what? What about me? You know, it's great. And now, man, tune out right now. If this is a major spoiler. Are you ready? I'm going to give you a moment to leave. Because this is a major spoiler. This is a spoiler very similar to Tropic Thunder. I've probably ruined it right there. One of the biggest. Brad Pitt gets killed. Like in a shocking moment. Just like the dude who blew up in Tropic Thunder. Right? Brad Pitt gets like all the. Like gets everybody. Gets them back onto the car. They get in. They're about to get away. And he just gets shot dead. And you're like, oh, what? Wait, what? Wait, who? Oh my God. Right? It's really like discombobulating. And then you have to do it, though. You have to get rid of Brad Pitt because this has got to be a movie about Sandra Bullock and Channing Tatum, like getting away from these guys and finding love as they get away. You know that's what it is, right? That I'm not ruining your situation at all because you knew that. And it's about going on that ride. It's like, you know this roller coaster. You know every twist and turn. But you like roller coasters and you like this roller coaster. So quit complaining. Now, going back to that sort of hero's journey thing, very obvious and straightforward, and it's going to be scene by scene. These are going to be different trials, right? So the deal is they're in the jungle and they have got to get to the airport, right? That's the kind of, that's the drive in each scene. So they go deep into the jungle. First, they have this scene where there's a bunch of leeches, and the leech scene is great. Really funny, gross out humor, exactly how you think, you know, especially on Channing Tatum's body, every like obvious joke, but they totally did the fine wine thing, which is, it's the world's most obvious joke. So you pull it out like a fine wine and you take the cork off and you smell the cork and then you pour the wine into your special wine glass and then you swill it around just right and you look at it and you've had this wine a million times before, but when you go through the motions, oh, it's just as delicious as it always was, right? That's what this is. So you go through the gross out leeches here. I don't even need to tell you what happens. You know. I mean, again, think of the tarantula scene in Raiders of the Lost Ark, but just longer and played for comedy. It's great. So they get through it. Then they get this really beautiful waterfall. There's this point where Sandra Bullock has to find some extra hieroglyphics, of course, because she's sort of partially translated the hieroglyphics, but she finds more on this waterfall. Daniel Radcliffe has talked about this earlier, and it's a pretty obvious plant. And then they camp out. You know, they have to, like, night's going to fall, and they're going to have to, you know, have that sort of slow down, more serious scene. More like, this is who I really am. This is who you really are. Oh, maybe Sandra Bullock actually likes him. Oh, they have to help each other in the dusk, you know, and this involves like kind of touching each other a little bit to help with things. And it's sort of romantically charged. And that's great, right? And it gives us that lull we need, because there's been so much speed and so much comedy and so many quick jokes that it's nice to have that breather. Oh, one last thing about the music. They also, when they're running out with Brad Pitt and they have Sandra Bullock, they play Shadows of the Night. So good, right? Oh, man. And you know it. We're running with the shadows. And as soon as these songs start, you guys, it's just, you know, you might as well jump out of your seat and go, yay, because it's perfect. Anyway, more when we return. Hello. Welcome back. Pseudo Archaeology Podcast, episode 189. And we are wrapping up our joyous romp through the Lost City 2022. Sandra Bullock and Channing Tatum. And we're still in the depths of Act Two, but we're coming out of it. You know, we're sort of going through our various trials. And during this time, you guys, there's a B story where the editor, Sandra Bullock's editor, is like on her way. She's like trying to figure out where Sandra Bullock is. There's this whole thing about using Sandra Bullock's cell phone and figuring out the location services on it. You know, like it's great. And so the editor is kind of in the footsteps of everyone else, kind of, you know, several steps behind, but that's its own fun little B story again, so we can get away from some of the like constantly hitting you humor. And the editor stuff's funny too, but it gives us a slightly different taste, because it is tough if a movie's just constantly hitting you at the same tone and timbre of humor. You know, it's nice to kind of break out. So she's on her way. The couple, of course, I forget even what this was. It's funny, in my notes, I have argument And what's funny is I think the reason I can't remember it is because there has to be an argument at this point, you know, where Sandra Bullock and Channing Tatum go, oh my God, blah, blah, blah. I didn't realize you felt that way. And they have to have that late, oh, I hate you too thing to add the tension to when they finally are going to get together. And you know that's going to happen. So they have to run away. So it's like, I think morning comes. They've been able to sleep through the night. And of course, they do the thing where, you know, Sandra Bullock wakes up and she's sort of snuggled against Channing Tatum. And she's like, oh my God, I'm snuggling against him. Do I have feelings? I hope not. You know, but then some motorcycles come. They got to run from the motorcycles. They're helping each other out, running them. They ultimately, you know, kill one or two of the dudes on the motorcycles. And they have this whole sort of like, I didn't mean to wait. You, I guess. I mean, I didn't mean for him. I mean, I was just trying to get away. It's funny. It's lighthearted. It's nice. Ultimately, they get to this hotel, right? Which is great. It gives that moment where they can clean up, you know, just like in Raiders of the Lost Ark, when there's a moment when Karen Allen and Harrison Ford get to kind of clean up, you know, it's like they've had a shower, they have different clothes on. And so they have that moment and then they kind of dance. They do this sort of dance thing. But oh, my God, shocking to no one, just about when the romance is going to start to light up again, Daniel Radcliffe is back. What? Oh, no. Now he grabs them. There's a fight again, you know, on a truck, I think. And then we get to the last bit. Now we're getting to this cave. We get to the cave because the whole drive of this is not just to find the lost city. So they already know where the lost city is. But inside, of course, there's a tomb. And the tomb is, Jesus, is it for the man or the wife or both of us? So funny, I can't remember. It doesn't matter. It's the tomb has to do with, you know, the two dead lovers. Or the one is dead wanting the other one. I don't know. I can't remember. But there's the whole, oh my God, I have to squeeze through this cave. Sandra Bullock needs to do it first. Daniel Radcliffe is making her do it, you know, to get out there first. They get to the tomb. They want to open the tomb because Daniel Radcliffe wants to find this like jewel of fire or something like that. I can't remember the name of it. But then we realize that it's just sort of shells and the true jewel is like the person or the love or whatever. I forget. But that's, you know, it's that, oh, love is more precious than diamonds. It's that kind of thing. Of course, Daniel Radcliffe is pissed. He puts Channing Tatum and Sandra Bullock inside the tomb. Then they're trapped in the tomb. But then one of the henchmen leaves them like a crowbar to get out of the tomb because he realizes that Daniel Radcliffe is bad. You know how this goes. And then they get out of the tomb. Now they have to get out of there. And then they swim through this tunnel, right? And they get out into open water. Of course, they have to swim through the tunnel because I think the volcano is like about to erupt. You know, it has to. Everything, yeah, right. Everything's shaking because the volcano is angry. And then they get out and they're in open water. And just in time, the editor is there and she's there on a boat. And they're able to grab Daniel Radcliffe, and he's the bad guy, you know, and then they're saved. And of course they have the last sort of romantic denouement scene where it's later in time and they're hanging out on the beach together and all the other characters are kind of there and they're laughing and joyous. But then they have this, you know, the final kiss, you know, and because they've been in love before for a while, but we as the audience are like, we need to see this final kiss. So they have the final romantic cliche moment, and that's it. That's the movie. I will say, you need to keep watching the credits, because in the credits, we do have Brad Pitt come back, and it turns out that Brad Pitt's still alive, and, you know, a piece of his brain was, like, shot and destroyed, but he's still there, and they're there, like, doing yoga together. And there you go. That's it. So, as you can get, as we've gone through this, I liked this movie. I'm super curious what screams the Stone Age are going to say, this is really fun. I didn't realize they did it. So it's like, dudes, after this, I'm going to listen to Screams of the Stone Age and see what they said, because I can see this going different ways. You know, you guys, it so depends on your feelings. You know, it depends on and literally how you're doing that evening when you watch this, because if you're a little serious, this movie will not work. But if you're lighthearted and joyous and just want to chill, this is, if there was ever a movie made for Netflix and chill, this, my friends, welcome to Netflix and chill, number one with a bullet, right? Dude, just watch this. I love that it keeps its tone. I love that it actually has a great soundtrack. I love the pacing of it. I think the pacing's done really well. It's not perfect. You know, this is not the Oscar movie of the summer. It's not, right? Some of the scenes are going to be a little too long. Some of the scenes are going to be a little too, you're going to know what's going to happen. It's a little too cheesy. It's a little too much cheese, just like the huge table of cheese, you know, but it does get through it. It moves. It moves pretty good with some great little jump humor moments, with a ton of jokes like kind of behind the main scene, with Sandra Bullock's excellent physical comedy all the time. Just watch her body, you know, as she's turning it up to 11, man. And you're going to have a good time, dude. This is not, I mean, in terms of the archaeology, there's no archaeology, you know, real archaeology there at all. It's not supposed to be. It's not saying that there is. It's not set up as if it's anything real. It's just like a fun with a capital F romp through this stuff with a thousand little not so inside jokes. I mean, the book called The Lost City of D. It's great. It's great. Right? Oh, man. And I mean, the cameo by Brad Pitt, you know, when you first see it, you're like, wait, how did they get him? You know, look, Brad Pitt looking like his mojo man, Mr. Cool. You know, you're like, how did he get him? But when you think about it, the script is hilarious. It's just a fun little cameo that wouldn't have taken more of a day or two or three, you know, to film. And I'm sure they were like, hey, Brad, check this out. And, you know, I mean, Sandra Bullock's a big A-list star. So Channing Tatum's pretty far up there, too. And I'm sure they just, you know, I'm sure he was just like, oh, yeah, because it looks super fun, you know? And anyone would be attracted to being in something, that is fun like that, you know? Just this little fun turn. So in the end here, you know, this is like, enjoy yourself. This is not deep. This is not going to teach you depths of the human experience. It's just fun, dude. Allow yourself to laugh. Allow yourself to enjoy the humor that comes from it. Do not come into it expecting too much. That's my only worry, having given such sort of an overall glowing review, that you're going to expect that this is freaking fantastic. It's not. It's like a perfect B-movie, you know? And perfect B-movies always have room on my television. And with that, I'll see you guys next time.
Thanks for listening to the Pseudo Archaeology Podcast. Please like and subscribe wherever you like and subscribe. And if you have questions for me, Dr. Andrew Kinkella, feel free to reach out using the links below or go to my YouTube channel, Kinkella Teaches Archaeology. See you guys next time.
Thanks for listening to this podcast. The Archaeology Podcast Network's chief editor is Rachel Roden. Our executive producer is Ashley Airy. Our social media and newsletter coordinator is Matilda Siebrecht. The APN was founded by Chris Webster and Tristan Boyle on December 1st, 2014. We're supported by our amazing podcast hosts, many volunteers, and listeners like you. Check out membership at www.archpodnet.com/members.
This has been a presentation of the Archaeology Podcast Network. Visit us on the web for show notes and other podcasts at www.archpodnet.com. Contact us at chris@archaeologypodcastnetwork.com.